Welcome to episode 5 of the Hollywood Knitter Podcast. My name is Allison, and I'll be your host today. Today is Sunday, July 10th, and sections today include Applause, In the Can, Now Playing, Coming Attractions, Gossip, Hollywood Knitter Nominee, and an LA Story. So let's get started, shall we? First up, how did you guys like my new intro music? I'm so excited I finally found a song that I really like. I think it's kind of snazzy. So hopefully you all enjoyed it too. Now I feel like a real podcast with an intro. I still don't have a tagline for the end, but maybe one day I'll think of something. So anyways, applause for today we'll start with. Just a quick one. I just want to thank the people who've left me iTunes reviews. I'm not going to list them, but I've always listened to podcasters, and they've talked about how great iTunes reviews are, and you should leave one, and things like that. And I never really realized until you podcast, and then you go and check your reviews just randomly, and you're like, wow, people are listening. Wow, people like me. Wow, people out there are listening. So I just really want to say a big thank you. I did not expect it to give me that big jolt of, you know, happiness in my day that it really did. So as everyone says, I highly recommend that if you enjoy podcasts, go and leave an iTunes review if that's how you get it, or drop a note and let us know you enjoy it, because it really does make our day and it makes you want to keep coming back and recording and doing this, which, you know, only 5 episodes in, but it's a little bit of work. Great work. Work I want to do, but not as intuitive and easy as I guess I thought it might be. But anyways, thank you again for the wonderful iTunes reviews that were left. I greatly, greatly appreciate it, and reading them really made my day. Moving on to In the Can. Project that I finished was actually one I finished a while back that I didn't want to talk about until the recipient got them, and she did, and she mentioned it on her podcast. I made the Camp Kip socks. Well, I call them the Camp Kip socks. It was actually the Little Bit socks that were part of the Camp Kip goodie bags, and I was knitting them for Miss Calendar of the Brass Needles podcast for inspiring me, for being so awesome, first of all, because she's amazing and awesome, and meeting her there was awesome and amazing. Yeah, those might be the words of the podcast, but for really inspiring me to start my own podcast and putting myself out there and adding a little bit to this community. And so as thank you, I knit her socks, which were very well received, and she liked them very much, and she mentioned them on their podcast. So if anyone is coming over for the first time as a result of Miss Calendar and Brass Needles, hi and welcome. Hopefully you like it and you'll stick around. So those were socks were in Cascade Heritage, and I just really, really liked knitting those socks, not only because I was giving them to a knitter who also really liked them, but the pattern was really great. It just had, I like my socks to be a little more on the simpler side usually. I love looking at the complicated socks on Ravelry, like a la Cookies and things like that, but usually when I'm knitting socks, they're my mindless project. They're my travel project, and so I tend to keep my socks pretty basic. Usually a ribbing and maybe a few details is what I like to do, and these socks, the sock pattern met all of that with just, it was a, as I mentioned before, it was a cuff down pattern, which I usually do toe up, but it was a cuff down pattern, and the top has like an inch of a little lace and a little rib, a little cable, and then it goes into a ribbing, and then down at the heel it has these cables that go down around the heel flap, and then it goes into a toe, and it was simple enough that I could do it, but with just enough detail that I think it made it just a little bit special, and I'm really happy that Miss Calendar liked them. I love knitting them for her. I just hope she gets a lot of wear out of them, and thank you so much for inspiring me. Next up, we have Now Playing. What is on my needles? Well, what's on the needles but not getting much love is the Corey Farrell vest. As I'm sure with a lot of people in the United States, summer has finally come. Yes, it is hot. We have had what is sort of a heat wave-ish in Los Angeles, and it has been sticky and humid and hot, and the last thing I wanted to do was pick up and do Fair Isle wool and with hands. And so it's going to go into hibernation for the summer, I think, until it gets a little cooler, because I don't have air conditioning in my house. It's pretty typical. We only need AC, I think, you know, a week a year, 2 weeks a year, but those 2 weeks are miserable, you know, that can't sleep at night, it's so hot, etc. So, knitting a wool vest, Fair Isle, not exactly what I want to do right now. So, it will go into hibernation for a while, and maybe I'll pick it back up in the fall. I was really close to starting casting on and doing the splits for the sleeves and the V-neck, so when I pick it up, hopefully it will go fast, and I won't have forgotten how to knit with two-handed stranded knitting. What I am getting a lot of work done on is the Cassidy. I finished the back, which is interesting. The fact that I just followed the pattern the way it was written in this, and it instructed you to do the back first, and the back is like the biggest piece of the whole project. So as I'm doing this, I'm going, it's getting heavier and heavier. It got really kind of bulky to be bringing at work and like whipping out at the construction site, but I'm like, I want to finish it. And I finally did, and it's like 26 inches or 27 inches. I made it a little longer, and then I immediately cast on for one of the side fronts. I guess I'm doing the left side front, and it's going much faster. You know, it's basically the same as the back, but just like half the size. And so that is what is going around with me right now. And I'm still liking it. I'm hoping to keep going and going and going. And that by the time it gets cool again, which, I don't know, October, I should have a nice new cardigan to wear that will be nice and squishy and warm. So I'm excited about that. But other than that, no surprises. Just lots of cables and ribbing. And as it's just very easy now that I've memorized the pattern, I just keep going, and even the increases and decreases, I don't have to think about it as much anymore, and the cables are simple enough that I'm doing them without a cable needle, so it's great. But as we're going into the next section, coming attractions, I can't just have one project. That's like crazy to just have one project to be knitting on. It gets a little boring, at least for me. I can't have a lot of projects, but I have to have more than one. So I was casting around on Ravelry for the past few days, at least an hour each day, trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, because I wanted it to be smaller and portable, which mainly will mean like a shawl or socks. And so I was looking around and I was seeing, and I narrowed it down to three finalists yesterday, which were the Herbivore by Stephen West, the Traveling Woman Shawl by Liz Abiante, and then the Tajete by Romy Hill. And just a little while ago, I finally got my stash out and narrowed it down, and I decided to do the Tajete by Romy Hill from her Seven Small Shawls book. I ended up buying the ebook because the single pattern was $6.50, and her patterns are very nice. So I thought, hey, I might do one of the other ones one day. I might as well buy the whole book now. And the yarns I'll be doing it in are Madeline Tosh Sock in Kale, which is this lovely brown with like some specks of like pale green in it. It's mostly a darker brown, but then the lighter spots aren't just like lighter brown. They're like a lettuce-y color. And then I'm pairing that with something I've had in my stash a while, which was from an Etsy seller, Impulse of Delight, who's out of British Columbia, who does the most gorgeous colorways. And this is Upper Harmony, and it's a 70% superwash merino and a 30% silk. And it's these lovely blues and teal blues and then light blues and then just a little of that lettuce green, so it kind of ties into the kale. But I love her colors and her yarns because she does it from photos of that she takes around her house and nature, and then she strips that into the essential colors, and then that's how she dyes. So I loved her yarns for quite a while, and so a while back I purchased, and I've only have one skein, and I should buy more, but I haven't yet. And so that's Impulsive Delight, and that's Ruth Stewart. And I know she has a blog because I read it. The blog is at www.knittingonimpulse.com. It's great stuff. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. I want to order more. So I'm very excited. I haven't cast on yet. I haven't even wound the yarn yet. That's going to be what I'm going to do a little later, and then I will start going. And if you haven't seen the shawl is, it's stripes back and forth with then a lace border and then a picot edging, though I don't know if I'm going to do the picot edging, honestly. Picot takes forever, and I don't know, it seems a little frilly. I saw on Ravelry where someone had done an I-cord bind off that I liked a lot more, so I think I might be doing that. But it depends. I'm going to try to use every bit of yarn up. My blue skein has 375 yards, and then my Tosh sock has 395, so we'll see what kind of shawl I get for that. And that will be the shawl that will be coming with me to all of these events I have coming up until I finish it, and then I'll start a new one. But that leads us into gossip. Few things I want to talk about in gossip. Let's talk about my future travel first, because it's exciting. Comic-Con, 10 days. 10 days, people. 10 days, and I will be in nerd heaven. I'm so excited. The schedule just came out, or the entire schedule was just released today. And lots of things to see. One of the big highlights is Doctor Who. They're having Matt Smith and Karen Gillan come. That's awesome. Past few years for Doctor Who, with the exception of the last 2 years ago when David Tennant came, usually they don't have the stars come. They just have, you know, the producers and writers, which is awesome because they're very funny in their own right. But you want the star. And so Matt Smith and Karen are coming. It's so awesome. And they're actually having it in the biggest room that they can, which is a first for Comic-Con. Usually the biggest room they have it in seats about 4,000, and then they're having it in one that's about almost double that, called Hall H. So that will be very exciting. Also that same day is Glee. Yes, yes, I admit I'm a Gleek, and so I will be going to that panel also. Then what else am I going to see? Supernatural, which I love seeing those boys. They're so gorgeous in person. Yes, yes, they are. I should put up a photo I took last year. They had, the WB, I guess it was, had life-size cutouts, and I took a picture with them, and it's one of my favorite pictures. But there's just a lot of your major sci-fi television shows, and even some that aren't sci-fi, have a presence and have a panel there, and so I'm not sure which ones I'm going to see, because of course, some conflict as usual, but some of the ones I'm looking forward to. Sanctuary is a show I love. I love Amanda Tapping. She's amazing, and I love going to see her speak about her show, and I like watching Sanctuary. Falling Skies is another one. It's a new show that started. I'm hoping to see that. And then I also go see Psych. Almost always one of my favorite panels. Those guys are hilarious. Same thing with the Big Bang Theory panel. Another group of actors that are just so funny in person and tell stories and just make you laugh. And that's really what Comic-Con is all about for me, is going and, as I've said, seeing these actors in their real life and talk about these characters and insight into it, and seeing the fans' reaction and the fans' questions and how into it everybody gets. And it's just great. It's like going to knitting camp and being surrounded by your peeps. Is you're going into these rooms, you know, with thousands of people, and you all are obsessed, you know, with the same thing. You know, the big thing with Doctor Who is like, oh my God, Alex Kingston, River is their daughter, and she's going to date the Doctor. Oh, where that's so crazy. Though I did see it coming, but that's okay. So I'm very excited, and I hope to have lots of stories to come back and tell you guys about. Maybe some star stalking and some questions and. Yeah, it's just, I'm so excited. 10 days. And I go down for preview and I stay through Sunday, and have a lot of friends who go. And there'll be a lot of knitting, because there is a lot of sitting around in these panels and you're listening to people. And then you sometimes have to sit through panels you don't want to. So my tajete should get a lot of work. Also in gossip that I want to talk about, another future travel, is I signed up and will be going to the Cognitive Fiber Retreat. Dr. Gemma, yay! I'm a big fan of the Cognitive podcast. Dr. Gemma is an amazing person to listen to, and her podcast is very informative and real, and it's just, It's just a pleasure. And so last year, I was a little too timid to sign up for the Cognitive Fiber Retreat because, as I said, in LA, I'm a fairly solitary knitter. I don't go to knitting groups, and I don't know really knit with anybody else. And so it was a little out of my comfort zone to just jump in and go to this. But after Camp Kip and starting this podcast, I feel like I can do it. And one of my favorite people, Toady Joe of the Outlier podcast, will also be going. And I'm sure I'm going to meet other wonderful people. So I'm really excited. And that's the first weekend of October. So it's a little bit away, but I just signed up for it. So I wanted to let you guys know going in case anybody else is going. Hit me up. Let me know. What else to talk about? Let's talk about kind of what I went from the last podcast. And since the last podcast, I went to the Electric Daisy Carnival in Las Vegas, and it was crazy. I think they ended up having 220,000 people over 3 days go to this event at the Las Vegas Speedway. And it was mainly electronic music. Actually, it was all electronic music of different types and variety. And it was amazing. Like, it was at night, so I went 2 of the days. I didn't go up on Friday. I worked, but my boyfriend and his friends did. So I went for Saturday and Sunday night, and it started at 8 p.m. and ended at 8 a.m. You know, that's crazy right there. But you get through the parking lot, you know, you get through security, which is always a pain, and then you go through into the stands, and then you go through the tunnel, and then when you come out of the tunnel, you see the field, and it was just lights. They had carnival rides, they had humongous stages with amazing light setups, and then just tons of people, and all the people are dressed up and in costumes, and everyone was there to have a good time. It was an amazing event. There was lots of great music, lots of dancing, lots of hanging out with my friends, and it was a great experience. Better so than it was even in Los Angeles. I was a little worried about moving. It was in Los Angeles last year, and I moved to Vegas. About the heat, about the crowd, about just, you know, changes. And that ended up being really, really great. The heat was a little stifling on one of the nights because there was no breeze, but the other ones there was a bit of a breeze. And so it is a dry heat, and that makes a huge difference. And so they had lots of misters, they had free water, they had cooling areas where there were little areas you could go into, they were air conditioned, and so none of that was a problem. And then they had a lot of other things to do and see, and per usual, this type of event, when I've gone in the past, it just attracts a friendlier crowd. Like, everyone is very friendly to everybody else and is talkative, and it's great. It's one of the highlights of my year is going to these types of events. And we go to 3 or 4 of them a year, most of them put on by the same people, which is Insomniac events. So that was exciting. And being in Vegas during the day, not so exciting. Really, really, really hot. Half the time we stayed in a house that we rented with friends, and that was cool because the drive to the venue, it was out of the way, it was nice. But then I really like to stay in Vegas on the Strip because I like to gamble a little bit. So we moved to Caesars for half of it, and that was really nice too because Caesars was beautiful. I didn't get to go to the pools, like in the pools, because I'm not all about hanging out by the pool when it's 115 degrees out. Like, that's not even enjoyable to me. So I looked at the people at the pool, and there were a lot of people, but it was just insanely hot out. It was just, no. So we did a little gambling and some buffeting and enjoyed it that way. And we ended up staying a few days after the event, so we stayed through Tuesday, and it was great. And then we drove back. I flew out there, and then we drove back with my boyfriend, and it was a highly, highly enjoyable event, and it was great. I know, I'm saying that a lot. I feel like I'm just like, all of these events, they're all so amazing, and but I can't pull the words out to really, truly describe it to you. I'll have to work on that for future episodes, like really kind of sit down beforehand and write some meaningful words with these things so I can adequately describe what's going on. The other thing was the craft day that I was supposed to have for the 4th of July. It was a craft day semi-fail. We didn't do anything for the 4th of July, yet I couldn't get the energy to get anything started. Like, I had the to-do list from hell, and it took me 3 days to do it. And it was just, like, little ticky-tacky things here, and cleaning the house, and doing the laundry, and putting pictures on the wall, and so I didn't end up having the desire to dedicate a full day to crafting. I did do some of the things on the list, like organizing my computer for where my patterns were, and I ripped out one project, and I still have a few more to rip out that are there. But it wasn't the big day of craft that I wished, but I'm still going to strive to try to do that in the future, one of these days off. I just like the idea of putting everything else aside and dedicating a day to craft. But in reality, when you work, like I did this week, I actually worked on Saturday, you know, working 6 days, I got to get the errands done on that other day. But I still like the idea. Did anyone else do a craft day, dedicate a craft day? It does sound like a great idea, doesn't it, to have so much time to craft, not let the rest of the world butt in on that wonderful time. But in reality, it's a lot harder to make it so. I might try again in the future, though. I guess the only other thing I talk about is more vacations. Doesn't it sound like I just take vacation after vacation after vacation? In reality, I just like to plan my next vacation after vacation after vacation. I get so much pleasure from the planning of a vacation, and I'm an amazing vacation planner. I'd like to go somewhere with me. Everything's planned, and I pick the awesomest places. And so one of the things that I try to do is every summer, I try to have my nephew come see me for a week and do a trip with him. And he's turning 10 this year. Still can't fly out here by himself, which is kind of a bummer, but so I'm flying him and my mom out this year, and we're going to do a trip to the Grand Canyon and Zion and Bryce, and I am so excited. So I actually have them flying out to Las Vegas, and then we're going to drive to the north rim of the Grand Canyon and stay at the lodge there in a little cabin for a few days, and then from there drive to Zion and stay there for a few days, and then Bryce, and then do a quick trip to Vegas for a night, and then back to LA for a few days, and then they're go. But more so as I get closer, I'll talk more about it, but I pretty much have it all booked. I mean, I booked most of the rooms except for the one at Bryce and Las Vegas. I haven't picked which hotel. That will probably be based on the pool for my nephew, because for kids, it's all about the pool. And we're not staying very long. It's just like an overnight. I tried to plan the trip so that we wouldn't be in the car no more than 4 hours a day. Because, first of all, I'm not a big fan of, on my vacation, driving in a car all the time. And then for a kid, you especially not. So I did very much try to do that. But that's enough of all of my vacation plans coming up and all the things. But they'll all just lead to more stuff to talk about here. And more knitting time. That's another thing I'm really hoping for. I feel like I haven't been doing enough knitting lately. That leads us into our next segment, the Hollywood Knitter Nominee of the Week, which is my brand new phone. Little backstory on why I had to get a new phone. I was getting a manicure pedicure before going to Las Vegas so that I would have pretty toes because I would be in flip-flops or open-toed shoes. So I had my phone in my lap and I was getting a pedicure and I put it in my lap because I was texting someone and I went to look at the magazine and it slipped right in the water. And the girl doing my toes was more horrified and quick, she was quick into that water to pick it up. And I was more laissez-faire going, oh well, you know, it was my fault. I had it in the lap. It was a stupid place to hold it and it was my fault. So I was still hoping that I would be able to save it, so I brought it home, and I did a Google search on the internet, and said, put it in rice, and don't start it, and you can't do it for 24 hours, and the problem was that the next day, I was flying to Vegas, and I was supposed to meet my best friend, and we were supposed to go to lunch or brunch beforehand, but I didn't have a way to contact him, because I didn't have a phone to say, like, confirm we were meeting, and what time, and so I tried to start my phone before 24 hours were up, and it sort of looked like it was working, and then it didn't work. And then I remembered, oh wait, Allison, you have another phone because you have a work phone. Unlike a lot of other people, I don't have my work number forward to my main cell phone. I keep them separate, so I have a flip phone for work because construction-wise, it's easier to drop, and then if I break it, you know, the city pays for it, things like that. So I went and got that out of the car, and I turned it on, and I dialed him and called him, and Yeah, so I had no phone going to Vegas, and I was without a phone because I was still hoping it would magically start working again, which on the internet they said sometimes happens. So I was without a phone for 3 or 4 days, and then finally this happened. My pedicure was on a Friday. By Tuesday, I think, is when we got it, when we were in Vegas after the event, and I went to a Sprint store, and I bought myself an HTC Evo 3D phone, an Android phone. I had a Palm Pre before, and although I love the Palm and Palm platform, and I'd had a Palm for years, they just don't have enough apps. They don't. So I wasn't going to go with the iPhone because I didn't really want to switch services. I like Sprint a lot, and their cost is very well. So I went in and I bought the Evo 3D, and I've been playing with it ever since. It's great. Two things are great about it. Tons of more apps, and I can now watch Netflix on demand on my phone, and it's a great screen. Except I bought afterwards, like last week, I bought a screen, one of those non-scratch screen things that I have from Best Buy that I had on my previous phone, and now I have to go back and get it taken off and get like a refund because I can't watch TV without everything being all pixelated. It's like was a smudge-free thing, and yeah, defeated the whole purpose, and I gotta go. Thank goodness for the internet. I looked online and they said, oh yeah, Best Buy will take it back. You shouldn't have gotten the smudge proof. You need to get the clear version. And so I got to go back and do that. But I can totally watch Netflix on demand now while I'm at work because I have the 4G and they have that. So it's a great way for downtime for when I have a few minutes here and there. I can sit and knit and watch an episode. And right now I'm working my way through season one of Farscape, which I watched it back in the day, though I don't think I watched it from the very beginning, and it's a great sci-fi show. It's out of Australia. I'll talk more about it as I watch more, because I'm only like 4 or 5 episodes in, but it's a great thing to be able to watch it on my phone. And then the other thing I'm doing that instant addiction is Words with Friends, and if anyone wants to start a Words with Friends game with me, I'm LA_gumdrop, and come, we'll play games. But it's just amazing. Yeah, how many more things you can do on it. Though I did lose some information off my old phone, which is a little sad that I didn't back it up, and so I'm trying to back up this now. So that's my little nominee. New phone, new technology. Don't really need the 3D and haven't really played with it much. It's got like this weird dual camera on the back. It seems a little bit of overkill, but it was the newest phone, and when you're going to be keeping technology, it's always best to get the newest one because the processor is better, the memory is better, etc., etc., etc. So, I'm excited. New phone. That brings us to an LA story. We're not going to do an LA story this week. I'm going to try to get some new LA stories when I go to Comic-Con and some other things. But I wanted to tell you about a little LA crazy, how I see it anyways. You may have heard, because it's been picked up nationwide, about Carmageddon. Oh my goodness, Carmageddon is coming, and it's actually next weekend. And what that is that we have a lot of major freeways in the Los Angeles area, and it's how we get around. And one of the most major freeways is called the 405, and it is being shut down between the 10 freeway, which is right near Santa Monica, up to the 101. It's like a 10-mile stretch. And they've been telling us about it for months, and it's Carmageddon, and it's going to be like the end of the world, this stretch of road, and traffic is going to come to a standstill all over the city. Now, they're shutting this down like 10 p.m. at night on a Friday to 5 a.m. on the Monday morning so that they can demolish a bridge because we're getting some work done. But I just want to say that the way people are reacting to this, it is insane. It is just a road, people. You can divert. There are easy ways to go around it. It is not going to cause the world to end. And just the way the news coverage here, or even my friends, and they're just like, oh, because we're actually, next weekend I'm going with my girlfriends, another little travel. We're going to Santa Barbara to do wine tasting overnight. And they were saying that we're going to take this most convoluted route so that we don't go anywhere near, which we weren't going anywhere near Carmageddon, because the world is going to be ending. You know what I think? My prediction? There's going to be minimal traffic interruptions because the Carmageddon has put the fear into everyone. And so people are just like not traveling at all to avoid Carmageddon. So there isn't going to be a Carmageddon. And maybe that was their idea the whole time. In which case, Very, very smart. But I will let you know, because I will be traveling during Carmageddon. I will have to be on the road fairly early to make the 2-hour drive to the Santa Barbara area, where me and 5 or 6 other girls will be getting a driver to drive around to wineries and drink. Yummy, yummy. Anyways, that's all I have for today. Thank you so much for coming back and listening, if you've listened before and if you're a new listener. Hi, hope you liked it. If you want to reach me, I am Allison1031 on Ravelry and Twitter. You can drop me an email at hollywoodknitter@gmail.com. And everything you've heard today and all the show notes, as well as other podcasts, can be found at hollywoodknitter.com. Again, no tagline yet, but I hope to have one in a future episode. And if you have any suggestions, drop me a line. I'm really having a problem coming up with these cute little taglines that all these podcasters end with. I just don't have any ideas. Anyways, wishing you all wonderful knitting. Take care.